Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
This is a Lip Media podcast.
We acknowledge the traditional owners of the land on which we are recording. We pay our respects to their elders, past and present, and the Aboriginal elders of other communities who may be listening today. Welcome to The Gays Are Revolting, a definitive weekly news source for contemporary gays.
We put the G in LGBTQIA+, and we're here to help you be the best G you can be.
I know you love me, baby. That's why you brought me here. Show your love by following us on Instagram or Twitter, or join our Facebook group at The Gays Are Revolting.
Support our show and listen to bonus after shows by becoming a patron at patreon.com/gaysrevoltingpod. Hi, everyone.
Hey, Kyle.
Hello. Are we missing someone?
Oh, I think so. So I'm going to guess that some sort of raucous sex injury.
He's broken his other arm, hasn't he? Sorry, by the way, listeners, Tom is not here, if you haven't noticed. No.
Which means Tom is not here this episode, but I'm sure you could watch an episode of The Crown this week and get
feel connected to him in a deep way.
Are you guys excited about next week?
What's next week?
Next week we have our Melbourne live show coming up. Ooh. Which is very exciting. We will be at the Melbourne Speaker Tent in Collingwood, so that is on the 7th of February.
Some real clown town.
Yes, clown town, especially with us there.
We still have tickets available.
Oh, yeah. No, they're actually going.
They're going pretty quick, which is good. So get in there.
Thanks, guys. And then before the month is done, we have another show in Sydney. And that's on Friday, the 28th of February. As part of a little thing I like to call Mardi Gras.
Just a little thing.
Kyle coined the term Mardi Gras.
Yeah, I did. I didn't like, I won't charge. But yeah, that'll be a lot of fun. So come see us there.
For our patrons, we're discussing one of our favorite things, a queer band, Years and Years.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. I know. Oh, my gosh. When I found out we'd be talking about that, I was like, I love Years and Years. I was like, I can talk about them all day.
No, we've all been hooked on the TV show Years and Years and going to have a bit of a political chat.
Yeah. Stick around for that.
Stick around or sign up if you want to hear that. Plus about, 10 other after shows? Untucks that we've...
Yeah.
25, my producer saying 25, double that.
We also have a really cool guest joining us tonight, Sarah White from Quit. So she's going to come speak to us about smoking and why you guys should
quit
not do
smoking.
That. You guys should quit.
Some sparks will fly between
us.
I'm
the golden child because I do not.
I'm sure. How's everyone's week been? I haven't seen you guys since
we've just had a long weekend for Invasion Day.
Invasion Day. Did you guys see the protest in the city? Oh my god, it was huge. Like
so many people.
And it's very, very emotional. Mm-hmm.
Did you inadvertently become part of the protest?
A little bit, yeah.
Yeah.
You kind of do when you're there. And you're just
That's good.
Hi.
We like that. Yeah, everyone left me for this long weekend. My brother Ty flew to Sydney to go party up there. And then Duncan went to his parents' house in the country. So I'm like, you know what? Fuck you guys. I can be fun on my own. So I finished like 3 seasons of different TV shows.
So you had no
fun. No fun. But I finished Fleabag. It's very good.
Yeah. Fleabag
very,
is
very
amazing.
Good watching people get on it.
Fleabag. I think I've actually overdosed on drag.
Yeah.
Sunday.
Too much drag?
Sunday the 86
You're a bit of a drag addict.
That. Oh,
I'm sorry.
Terrible.
You laugh. You can't.
They did their annual drag-a-thon, which it was something ridiculous, like 36 hours of drag.
They keep extending it every year.
Yeah, so I was there for, I think, 9.
Wait, where was that?
At the 86.
Whoa. Yeah.
9 of those hours I was there.
Yeah.
Until we hit like 1:30.
What, and they stay open?
Yeah, they stayed open until overnight. the next day. And then I realized I'd been in the same bar for 9.
Yeah, it's like uncrust your like arms and legs out of the chair.
I have like tennis ankle or whatever from yassing and clicking at Queens for 9 hours straight.
Broke your wrist.
Just... I have like RSI or something from it.
Oh my God. I didn't know stuff like that existed.
Yeah, it was all Sunday. There were some great performances. But I think just the feeling of being in the same place and drinking consistently for 9 hours.
Oh, yeah.
That's a lot.
I also did my first ever spin class.
Really?
That
just reminded me. I started F45 last week. Must have blacked it out from trauma. But yes, I am still sore. I have to fall into all my chairs. It's
come
the
to
easiest
spin.
Way. Yeah. No, I'm good. There's like a little bit of like a bicycle exercise in the one class I did, and I was not for it.
Well, they're doing like a pride or something this Saturday.
I like that it rhymes.
I don't know, but okay. I'm going to give it another go.
Pride ride.
I'm a masochist. Yeah.
So is the pride ride on an actual bike or still just stationary?
I think it's still just stationary. Yeah. Maybe they'll play more Dua Lipa or something. Probably. Make it a bit gayer.
Does already Josh and I caught up with a couple of our good girlfriends that we met along our travels in Vietnam, which was really, really lovely.
Did you go to Vietnam?
Yeah.
Is that where you've been?
And usually, like, we just get absolutely plastered, which was fantastic.
Yeah.
But the conversation always sort of goes towards sex and our different sexcapades, which got me thinking about all the different sexual encounters that a lot of travelers have. And, like, the amount of sex that everybody is having as well.
Oh, my God.
But I didn't realize that there was an actual thing where people go to specific destinations just for sex.
It's a motivating factor.
Yeah. Honestly, I think that's the only reason gay people travel is just to refresh their Grindr page and have, like, a whole lot of new faces.
That's the only reason I go out of Northside suburbs.
It's why people, absolutely.
Just to get refreshed again.
So they call it sex tourism.
Yeah, they call it sex tourism.
And that means, like, travel plans specifically for the purpose of
sex.
Yeah,
yeah,
which
exactly right.
Not to like be confused with like that's illegal sex trafficking, all that kind of stuff.
That's walking out the front door for me. Well, I'd leave the house with the explicit intent of having sex.
Yeah, and like every day can be sex tourism for you.
But no, it's interesting that you bring that up, Kyle, because like there is a very clear definition. But
sex tourism is actually quite a affluent, privileged kind of thing.
Yeah,
I grew up in the Philippines, and I learned about sex work and I learned about sex trafficking really early on in my life where white kids don't.
Because it's like so much a part of the culture there.
It's prevalent. So out the front, when I was maybe like 8 or 9, out the front of our house, there were some trans sex workers who would stand on the corner, and the kids' job was actually to throw stones and get them away because they brought the risky element into the neighborhood. And so I didn't understand any of it. I was a child, and the other kids had to explain to me, oh no, this person does sex work, so they have sex with men for money, and they're also non-binary or trans, and they had to explain that, and then they had to explain the dark underbelly of that, being that it can bring crime and that there's also this fetishization. It was a lot for like a very young person
to
absorb,
like, take in.
And the impact has been that as I grew older and men became sexually interested in me, it was very hard to disconnect the concepts that I learnt as a child, that affluent white men will travel specifically to a country the Philippines, which is one of the highest in terms of sex trafficking and sex tourism, to have sex with you because they see you as an exotic, you know, quote unquote, or some other kind of thing.
Exactly.
And,
right.
and it's taken, I think, about 30 years, I'm 33 now, to unpack those connections. Because of the sex trade that's going on there. So,
when people say sex tourism, I kind of don't think of people going and like hiring prostitutes and stuff. I think for me, I always thought sex tourism was kind of like people traveling and going to resorts where other people travel and then they kind of all have sex, like going on, like, you know, you see a lot of those kind of gay cruises now. Yeah. When you see all those kind of like muscle white guys on like these big ships and they all just party and rave and probably like fuck in their like rooms and stuff.
Yeah.
Like, sounds like my type of scene.
Sounds great.
50 muscle white guys.
Your favorite.
But no, Luke had it right before. Like, traditionally, it has been older white
patriarchal
men who have money behind them. It's always that the old white indulge dudes. In that sort of thing. Yeah. But more and more recently, it is a lot more queer people doing it and a lot more sort of women doing it as well.
Yeah.
And like bi-curious people.
Your friends that you caught up with, did they have any kind of sexcapades like that
while they travel? Absolutely. Yeah. Like, because they were both, they still are both single. So when we met up with them, like one of the girls was just like, I've had so much sex in the last couple of months.
That's great.
Like, pretty much every single night, like, you just meet another random person and hook up with them. And she's like, at home, this is not what I'm like at all.
I think for a lot of people, it's like so freeing to just kind of be able to travel and just go be themselves and explore these sides of themselves. But yeah, I guess like I remember when you were telling us about your holiday when you first came back and you're saying how you and Josh would like go play together kind of thing. I guess it would be a whole different thing because you are disconnected from your familiar surroundings, so you don't know anyone, so you would feel safe in that kind of environment. Yeah, so you can just do what you like.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. Like, honestly, it's because I was really scared about being out to other travelers because I just didn't know.
You don't know what country they're from and if it's okay in their country
and
to
like
be gay.
What their reaction was going to be. But the more and more that we traveled, the more I realized that people who travel don't give a shit.
They're on their own journey. They don't give a fuck about what you're doing.
Yeah, like they're out there to experience life and like experiment themselves.
I do think it's important if you're going to partake, have a sex romp trip, to be respectful that, you know, we've talked a lot about you go overseas so you don't have the responsibilities of your real life and the people that you know and the community that you're a part of. That's like a super privileged thing to be able to go into someone else's country and just fuck around and be I'm going to have a fun time. So I do think as liberating as it is and as important it is, especially for queer people of color and the bees in our LGBT have found it easier to explore their sexuality abroad, but to still have that respect that you are going into someone else's culture and they're not just a tool for you to explore your sexuality.
Like, have their lives.
Especially if you're going to somewhere that is of a lower socioeconomic standing than your home country.
Yeah, so don't take advantage of like these kinds
be
of
aware that there's a power imbalance that if you're coming from Australia to Bali, for example, that you automatically have a power imbalance over someone that you may be engaging in sexual activities with. And you don't want to make anyone feel fetishized or othered.
What are some of the other places? Like, because I think of Bali and Thailand and all those kinds of places in Asia.
Chek Hunter.
And then I guess like Amsterdam would be like the other big one, right? That's like a big kind of sex tourism thing.
Like, it's actually since the late 90s, Prague has attracted a lot of sex tourism. And I grew up watching those porn videos where they offer 50 euro or
whatever.
And then people like in a caravan and like
up the ante each
I just tried to talk about respect when and I don't even know the denomination of the currency. But that video kind of also fetishized a culture and a specific type of person that I can't imagine that didn't have an impact in terms of people's motivating factors. There was some study we saw where it's so funny trying to pick apart the motivating factors of gay men because it's always sex. But the main motivating factors for travel for young gay men, at least in this study, which I think was like UK based, the predominant one was sex and social. So to go and fuck and meet social, other gay people is like the main predominant reason that gay men travel. Second was like culture and
that was like I don't want to go to a museum. I want to fuck in a museum.
That was like far second. I would find it hard to not think that the kind of social impact of those bait bussy kind of check hunter videos paints a picture of a very hedonistic Europe that people want to be a part of. The funniest one I saw recently was a Twitter thread, and I know this is so stupid to bring up, but someone had posted that they'd chatted to someone on Grindr and they both decided to pay for flights to like Helsinki.
Oh my god.
Neither of them had met before and they flew to Helsinki.
Did they catfish each other?
To have sex. And this guy like did it and everyone was commenting being like, you're gonna die, girl. You in trouble, girl.
You're in danger, girl.
And then he tweeted this such obnoxious thing being like, hotel 5 out of 5, sex 3 out of 5.
Oh,
but I'm sure he enjoyed it more than I did.
Wow.
And just wrote this scathing like review
of Yelp
this
review.
Person. Yeah. And then had to delete the whole thing because we all read him for filth.
Yeah.
But
Twitter.
No, me myself, I've not indulged. I mainly travel when I'm in a relationship. And just when you're spending your pink dollars, know where they're fucking going.
Yeah, that's the other thing.
Do your research, like, gays.
Yeah.
If you're going to chuck it at a bar or a call boy or something like that, that's totally fine. But make sure you're not funding something that you don't believe in.
Yeah.
Or something that is really horrific. Because if you read about the child sex trade in the Philippines, it'll make your stomach fucking turn.
I definitely experienced it myself, but also like through chatting with other people that we're traveling with, like there is definitely a higher risk involved while you are sort of, going on your sexcapades, whether it be
sexcapades.
I said it before, you didn't laugh then, Luke. Screw you.
Available like, on iTunes.
Whether it be like just being with a stranger or like obviously sexual health practices as well, like a lot of the girls that I were traveling with, like they were not using contraception whatsoever, and it was just like, come on guys, like
they were throwing caution to the wind because
they were
in Asia,
like, and I feel like a lot of people when they are out there and they're feeling sexually free,
that you but not too free, like kind of like wrap it up.
But no, I definitely feel like you are more willing to take a risk.
Yeah, absolutely.
Sex is fun.
Sex is fun.
We are a very sex... We're a very sex-positive show.
Yeah.
But be careful. Like,
be careful.
There's a case just like a week ago in Malaysia that some Australian tourists were arrested and fined.
Yeah.
$350.
No, it was a Vietnamese couple, sorry.
Oh, it was a Vietnamese couple. Were fined.
Was fined $350.
Because they were entrapped. They were catfished.
Yeah. So, it was, they went to this hotel and the police set up a sting operation.
Damn.
They invited them to the hotel room.
God, don't they have better things to do?
Spot.
That's such a, like, a... Ugh.
But, like, they got off light because I looked up the laws in Malaysia and it's, like, whipping and minimum 20 years jail.
Yeah, because that was one of our earlier stories in, like, an old episode of the podcast with those. Yeah.
So, like, consensual whipping and caning?
A-OK.
A-OK. But always check the tab.
Yeah. Do your research on the country where you're going. But like, it's not all doom and gloom. I mean, a lot of people have really good experiences there. Some like really good resorts and stuff out there. So do look at all the reviews. get up Yelp.
Just do your research. Make sure you're being safe.
Get on one of those homosexual boats.
That's it.
Yeah.
Full of... I just imagine those things fucking reek of amyl.
Oh, God.
You know, and you're out in the ocean and you're like, oh, my God, and everything's white. I've seen those videos. I'm like, this is hell to me.
Yeah.
And then they're playing like the trance and everyone's fucking each other. Whoa.
It's like a weird fever nightmare.
Yeah. Do it.
No, you guys go have fun though.
And use our code to get 10% off your next sex cruise.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices.
Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
So today we're super excited to be joined by Sarah White, the director of Quit. Thank you so much for coming in, Sarah.
It's a real pleasure to be here.
Thank you.
Yeah, very excited.
I have to fully disclose that I had a cigarette before.
Literally, we've been waiting here for you to finish
room,
up.
So let's just terrible. Be up front.
Yeah, the other fellas threw you under the bus.
Hard.
I knew they would. They always do. Yeah. But we're transparent on this show. So yes. I'm a full-time smoker. But I am super excited to have Sarah on because some of the statistics and things we're going to chat about are very, very intriguing to me. Smoking rates in the LGBTQIA plus community are double the national average. Has there been any research or do we know why members of our community are sort of reaching for cigarettes? Is it linked to our identities or maybe some of the more difficult stages that members of our community go through?
Yeah, it's a fabulous question, and I really wish I could give you the answer. I think the thing is there's a whole host of reasons, and they will differ depending on the group, even within the community that we're talking about. So say women, for example, bisexual women have higher rates than homosexual women, have higher rates again than heterosexual women. So it's going to depend, I think, really on the individual.
Okay.
And those reasons change as our social norms change, both in the community and outside the community. So some of the research we've done has certainly suggested that social inclusion is one of the reasons a lot of people have put forward the idea about dealing with stress and minority stress in particular.
Yes.
But probably the reasons are as many and varied as members of the community.
It must be so frustrating when scientists get like try to figure out why gay people do this as a study, and they're like, oh, not again,
another thing.
No one knows why gay people do what they do.
And maybe the case is too, more research is not needed. I mean, we know smoking is bad for you no matter what your gender identity is.
It doesn't discriminate.
So it doesn't discriminate. Yeah, leading cause of preventable death and disease. So maybe we don't particularly need to understand why people start, in as much that we need to help people understand how they can stop and support them to do that.
Yeah,
I can't argue that point. No. Damn it.
Not all of this is going to be directed at you, Carl.
So I didn't know this, but the tobacco industry in the US target queer people specifically. Do you think that sort of thing happens here in Australia as well?
So certainly in the past it has.
Okay.
And but we've had really strong controls on promotion and advertising in Australia probably for 30 years. So to some extent that's reduced. But in the States, it's horrific. Like there was this project called Project Scum.
Oh, Jesus.
What?
From a tobacco company called RJ Reynolds. And they
not
were specifically
the Feminist Manifesto Scum.
No, they were specifically targeting gays and homeless people in San Francisco. And they called it Project Scum. And it was
Terrible.
Oh, absolutely. So a lot of internal industry documents have been released as part of law settlement agreements in the States. So we actually know a lot about the marketing that went on. And it was pretty targeted, absolutely. And today, you know, if you look at films, particularly LGBTIQA plus films, there's a lot of smoking still in them and a lot of people suspecting that that's how they're sort of trying to do that subcultural marketing still.
Okay.
I started smoking when I was like 13.
Seriously?
Yeah, same.
Wow.
Yes.
I was probably about 13, 14 when I first started.
Yep.
And it was because I was watching, I used to watch VHS tapes of old David Lynch films. The
cool.
old like film noirs. And I was like, this is cool. I'd like the femme fatale.
Yeah.
Like, I think gay men really resonate with strong female characters.
Yeah.
And often
I think the only thing that's ever drawn me to smoking is like those kind of long fancy holders, like
that's
in Sabrina. She holds a really fancy kind of like cigarette holder, but otherwise, you know.
But this kind of thing suggests that that could target specifically been like gays like Kyle, like the fancy little things.
I like trinkets.
Let's get some characters like that into shows. Like that's
So young queer people do take up smoking a little bit earlier than their heterosexual counterparts.
Yeah, okay.
And part of that is possibly around social inclusion for some of it, but also some of it because it is in the films and in, as you say, the film noir. I mean, I wish we could get rid of
that. There's also the high smoking rates can also be linked to queer bar culture as well. And it's like that whole social inclusion thing you were saying.
Right.
I think I definitely feel the pressure around these guys. I feel like the outsider. I'm the only one who doesn't smoke. And I was like, okay, I guess I'll watch the bags and you guys go smoke outside.
Yeah.
When Quit first started doing some of this work with Thorn Harbour Health, we thought we don't really know. So we did some pretty serious focus groups with a whole group of people. And one of the things that the gay guys told us, particularly the young gay guys, was actually it was a really good way. Social inclusion is probably not enough of a term. It's if I fancy someone, I'll go and ask them if they've got a lighter.
It's just like an opener.
It's an opener. Yeah. Or if people are going outside, I know that I can go outside and chat to people. So a lot of that social awkwardness you could get past, but a lot of people talked about it as a pickup tool.
Yeah, that's so true, actually. I have a really close friend that I work with, and she like only smoke socially, but she buys cigarettes, like make friends and like offer people to like chat to them. So it's definitely a thing.
Also, like when you go out to bars, they're so densely packed with people that going outside and having a cigarette is kind of, it's like this nice, at least for me, I'm like, I'm going to have a break. Yeah. I'm going to go outside and then I'll be with the like-minded smokers. And I do feel that social inclusion of being like, everyone's inside bumping up against one another and it's 40 degrees in there.
Yeah.
Yep.
I'm going to go outside, have a breather.
Yeah, it would be nice at work because smokers always get so many breaks at work to go outside.
And those, that comment could have come straight out of the focus groups of the people we were talking to.
I thought I recognised you.
Couldn't comment if I was behind the glass.
Absolutely not. I think the bar culture is so tied into our sense of community as well.
Yeah.
And it's problematic in more ways than just the smoking, but the drinking as well, and trying to untangle both of those things from our sense of being a part. Unfortunately, Tom's not here tonight, but I think Tom strongly believes like being a part of that culture is a fundamental aspect of being present in the LGBT community. Like it's hard to untangle those things from one another. So I could definitely understand that being a struggle for a lot of
really interesting theme that came through again from the focus groups was, and I think we even had this as the title of the report, we don't make a minority out of a minority. So a lot of people expressed a concern that if we were looking at this, we had to be really careful not to then try and make smokers a minority amongst the community. It was a really it wasn't something we would ever set out to do, or but it made us sort of stop and think, oh, we have to be really careful about how we have these conversations, because they're just not going to resonate with the community if we start sort of doing something that's going to stigmatize further the people who are smoking.
Because
it's still the majority are non-smokers. The rates are still really high, but the majority are non-smokers. So that was a really interesting message from those groups that we had never considered before.
Absolutely.
Some of the things we've done to respond to that sort of feedback is actually really start that conversation with the community. So that's why we've been doing project with Melbourne Queer Film Festival. We've been asking young filmmakers to tell us what's the best way to get these messages through, you know, really relying on the fact that they're going to tell these messages without stigmatizing people and going to use the come up with messages that will resonate with the people we're trying to speak with. So it's all been about starting a conversation. And we haven't, you know, evaluated how many people have tried to quit and who's called the quit line, all that sort of stuff. It's really been about starting a conversation and giving us a bit of a direction about where we go next, because we want to be led by the community.
And so this is the second year that you've partnered with the Melbourne Queer Film Festival. And I think that's really amazing, is sort of handing the microphone over to the members of the community and say, this is the message we're trying to get across, and we think it has some value. You say it in your voice. Could you let us know a little bit about the films that are screening this year, or the, I'm guessing there's no film noirs in the lineup this year.
So we had a theme about how do you help people stop using cigarettes to cope and connect, because that was a key thing that came through the focus group testing. So we basically handed it the idea out to local young filmmakers and said, give us a concept. And the concept came in, and there was, they were assessed by people from Melbourne Queer Film Festival, Thorn Harbour Health, a couple of Quit Media people, but generally people who know what they're talking about. And then the there were four selected and given $4,000 to go away and make their concept into a short film. And the public voting is open right now until next week, from memory. I should know this off the top of my head. To go and choose which movie you think, which short film resonates the most and which gets the concept of not using cigarettes to cope and connect. And they're four incredibly different films. And they're very different from the first year we did it, where we had another four films. And last year, we couldn't split the winning two. So we ended up giving two films the prize.
That's the gag.
Yeah. So I don't want to do that this year because my budget's just
cannot handle
it. But you know, I've seen the concepts. They're available on the QuitFlix website or quit.org.au/QuitFlix, FLICKS. And they're really fantastic. And I just think whether you're interested in smoking or quitting, I'm not looking at you for a reason.
Shade.
Where's the rattlesnake sound?
Burn. You should go and have a look at them. They're really fantastic. And there's four young people who are really great storytellers.
Mm. So we're not looking at that kind of after school special vibe like.
No.
Queerfilm Festival is like one of my favorite times of year because you just can expose yourself to so much different media and art form. And people are seeing films every single night, sometimes three to four. So I might not intentionally know that I'm seeing one of them.
Well, the winner will be filmed in front of every, will be shown in front of every one of the film festivals.
Oh,
movies.
Really?
And it was last year too. But we're thinking about maybe we might show them all, but I don't know if I'm supposed to say that yet. But anyway.
You got the scoop here, guys.
So that is the evil part. Oh. We're actually going to force feed you.
I mean, it's not evil. It's for good.
I just thought it was too good. Nice.
Yeah. It's the opposite of scum.
Yeah,
that's right.
Project
Hope.
Yeah, exactly. Nice.
But smokers are excellent at ignoring very targeted messaging.
no one else look at me for the rest of this interview.
A lot of smokers, they are especially desensitized by anti-smoking messages for health reasons. How do you sort of cut through that sort of thing?
Yeah, look, it's tricky. And I think that people will say, oh, look, I ignore them. But when we do surveys that are asking questions that kind of get to whether they really do ignore them or not, it tends to tell us that they're not ignoring them. So people stub out cigarettes earlier, for example, or they reconsider having one. But I do think it is a challenge for us to keep getting that message across. And unfortunately, with the price of cigarettes, that gives us a really good entry point because there are a lot of people who may not be so worried about their health. They might be, you know, kind of fatalistic about what's going to happen. They might just downplay. They might reject that it's not going to happen to them. But the price is inarguable, really.
It's crazy.
So some of the stuff we're talking about in our ad campaigns now are really around social belonging, you know, and that's things that smokers tell us. I worry about somebody hugging me because I smell or and also the cost. And we know that they're big things.
Absolutely.
I absolutely agree with that.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
I've always thought, as a self-confessed ignorer of targeted messaging, you know, I do think it resonates on some level, these image shocking, like, health images.
Oh, my God, yeah.
For international listeners, our cigarette packets have images of, like, a diseased lung.
Yeah.
But you get desensitized because you're seeing it every day.
Exactly right.
But I've always thought the actual impact of handing over $50 every couple of days, that's a really hard thing to say, oh, no, that doesn't matter to me kind of thing when we're
humbly. And the other thing, of course, is you guys are all young and gorgeous. But as people get older, and even the focus groups with our older gay men and older queer women showed us, they were starting to really think about the health effects because they were starting to experience some of them. So they were starting to think about, well, I'm a little puffed when I go up the stairs or I feel a little bit wheezy. And so when you're young, you sort of think, I'm never going to die. And
I'm puffed when I go up the stairs now and I don't smoke.
So I think those health effects actually play into people's minds when they get a little bit older that maybe you guys haven't realized yet because, as I said, you're young and gorgeous.
You can say it again.
One thing that I'm really, really interested in, because a lot of people that I know have taken up vaping, Oh, it's huge. Which is massive. And like, obviously in Australia, it is still illegal to have nicotine liquids, but a lot of my friends that do it actually get it imported from overseas. So they're still having their nicotine intake. But what I was wondering is there in the works at the moment to like get out definitive sort of research about what the health effects are going to be from vaping?
Yeah, sure. So the volume of research that's coming from across the world at the moment is, I've never seen anything like it. It is staggering. There are literally hundreds of research articles being published every week on the effects of vaping, whether it's on uptake, advertising, health effects, you know, you name it. So it's a really contentious issue because on the one hand, it sounds like such a great idea.
Yeah.
You know, it's harm minimization. That's the thing. The challenge is we just don't know what the effects are going to be.
No.
We really don't. And intuitively, inhaling damp chemicals into your lungs...
It doesn't sound great.
It doesn't sound great. It doesn't sound great on a long-term thing. So most of the health bodies in Australia are saying we need to adopt a precautionary principle.
Yeah.
When we know that so many people do stop smoking and there's evidence-based treatments out there that are safe, they're effective, we really need to stick with those and encourage people to become not addicted to nicotine. You know, those same commercial interests that want you to keep your hand in your pocket to give out the $50 for your packet of cigarettes want you to be also buying, you know, nicotine liquids, nicotine devices.
Yeah.
So it's really, I know it sounds kind of simplistic to say we'd love everyone to be addiction-free from something like this. And, you know, I'm still out in many ways in terms of a jury. I totally see how they could be used short-term as a cessation aid. Long-term use, I have really grave concerns about what they would do.
We don't know,
When I very first quit smoking, I started smoking when I was like 14, 15, and then I was probably about 17 or 18 and I tried to quit and I went to the doctor and they actually prescribed me a vape when they very first came out.
Oh, really?
As a tool.
Oh
my God. That's and I was unusual. Like,
did they call it a vape?
Well, where was this doctor? Was it like an alleyway?
They called it like an e-cigarette.
Oh, yeah.
And so there was no
nicotine
in it or anything, but it was just so that I had the sensation of doing it.
Hand-to-mouth activity and stuff.
Yep. And like, it did work. Like, it was fine. But then there were like early studies saying that they weren't very good for you.
Oh.
And I was like, okay, putting that away.
Yeah.
And it's a vexed thing. You know, there's no doubt that cigarettes are more dangerous. Yeah. But... you know, there's nothing that's a consumer product that's less dangerous. So sometimes I say, well, you know, okay, we don't want people jumping off the 20th floor of a building, but is it safe to jump off the 10th?
Yeah,
is it safe to jump off the 5th? So true. If we've got a way to actually help people go down the elevator and walk out ground, I'd really be happy to promote that over the other options.
Can I ask, are vapes different from the Juul thing? Because I've heard about Juul.
Is a type of electronic cigarette.
Yeah. Okay, and I've heard stuff that's actually worse, like one of the worst options.
Is it just
you
like
can
a good
take?
Juul is a brand, and it's really had a massive increase in kids in the US. So
yeah,
about
just
a
recently
third of US teenagers. So they come; they're tiny little devices, and they're very easily hidden. Mm.
They're
in fact,
like pen size.
They're kind of like long USB sticks.
Yeah, yeah.
And in fact, you can even buy a hoodie that the drawstring is a Juul device.
No.
Yeah, seriously. So they're taking doors off bathrooms in the US and Canada and high schools, and it's just awful.
Jeez.
But they have a different form of nicotine.
Okay.
And it's allegedly more addictive. Mm-hmm. And one little pot of Juul is supposed to contain the same amount of nicotine as a pack of cigarettes.
Wow.
So if you can imagine these kids, you know, hitting their Juul.
Yeah.
They don't call them e-cigarettes or vaping.
No.
It's Juuling.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
And they're just going crazy for
Juuling.
It.
Mm.
Because someone was passing one around at the 86 the other night.
Yeah,
And they said, I get them in from America. This is a Juul.
Yeah.
And I was like, what's a Juul like?
Yeah, I've never heard of that story.
20% owned by a tobacco company.
Wow.
At least. And a new CEO from the tobacco company, the new chief.
Oh, y'all wanted a twist?
I hate vaping mostly because you always smell some delicious food and you walk around the corner, some asshole vaping on the corner. I'm like, disappointment. There's no apple pie here.
I don't know. I've got this thing about the fug. Like, you know, you don't really know when you're breathing in and out someone else's air, but when you have the vapor, well, it's really an aerosol.
Yeah.
When you breathe out, it's like, ooh. Yeah. I feel like I'm breathing someone else's air.
We got one of the Juuls while we were in London because they were
everybody
has them, and I was like, all right, I want to try this thing.
I want to be cool.
100% believe you on the fact that they're more addictive
yeah.
because of the nicotine content, because I had one and I was like, I need more. Yeah. Like, my nicotine uptake went up and I was like, oh my God, this is ridiculous.
So there's a few,
like,
people reporting their nicotine use goes up because they're, it's easy. Mm. So you get to the end of a cigarette, it's a natural stop point. You get to the end of a packet, it's a natural stop point.
Yeah.
But you can keep using your vaping going device going, for a long for time. And so you can use it like a lot more.
Yeah.
Yeah. And also because you haven't broken that addiction to nicotine and you haven't broken some of those sensory cues, like, you know, the hand-to-mouth action, the inhaling something, there is some concern that, in fact, people who are using e-cigarettes will be more likely to relapse to cigarettes because they're widely available.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, if your device breaks or it runs out of charge you haven't ordered the liquid, of course,
just
you go
run
back
to the
cigarettes.
Store. Or,
And there's really good evidence now around doing both is even worse than doing one or the other.
God,
So
vaping and smoking.
Yeah, exactly.
So if we can ban nicotine liquid, how come we can't just ban cigarettes? $1 million question.
Yeah, I know, seriously. So actually, nicotine hasn't been banned in response to e-cigarettes. It was already banned. It was used as a pesticide.
Oh, Jesus.
So it's actually controlled under poisons laws in Australia. Great. So before e-cigarettes came around, nicotine was banned under poisons law. And so the problem now is you have to sort of overturn this poisons law to allow nicotine to be sold legally, liquid nicotine.
Oh, wow.
Why can't we ban cigarettes? Look, I tell you, there is part of me that would just love to, because so many people say, I want to quit, I'm trying to quit.
Yeah.
You know, if you just took them away, my hairdresser keeps telling me he wants to get locked up.
Just like locked away, cold turkey.
Just send me to prison, I'll be fine.
No fail environment. You can still get cigarettes in prison.
Oh, yeah, I was like, don't like the whole prisoner smoke.
You can speak for me.
I don't want to know. So the challenge is that, you know, for a long time, tobacco companies lobbied politicians and all sorts of things like this. And we actually have written to our laws that tobacco is actually exempted from all of those things that kill people. So asbestos, for example, is banned, lead paint's banned, lead petrol's banned. We can't get rid of cigarettes. And if we tried to, the tobacco companies would take us to court in, you know, blinding flash, and we would, and the whole country would be sued, just like it was over plain packaging. So at this stage, it doesn't look like we can get rid of this thing that kills 2 out of 3 people who use their product as intended.
I love getting guests on because it's part Mythbusters.
Ask the question.
Whenever people tell me stuff at the bar and I'm like, oh, that doesn't sound true. But someone had told me that, so in Australia we had the plain packaging sort of, what would you call it? Not a legislation.
Legislation.
So our cigarette packets are all identical with big health warnings, but they're also this like repulsive diarrhea sort of brownish green color. And my friend said, oh, no, they did a study and said, this is like one of the least liked colors.
Oh, so it's like...
And it's just like not an appealing color.
Yeah.
Is that?
Yeah, I think you might be right.
Is that? Okay.
Yeah, I think so. And there may well be some sort of crazy story too that there was like some people were calling it like an avocado green and the avocado industry complained.
Oh, no. Oh, damn.
So it is a very unattractive, unappealing color.
No one wants that color. Nobody wants that color.
You can Google it if you're listening at home, but it is like a vomitous kind of...
Yuck.
It's these are a few of my favorite things.
But it broke a lot of the associations between brands and tobacco products.
Totally. It's been huge.
Really, you know, we know how young people are really attracted to brands and all the marketing. So all the marketing that had been done for a very long time.
It's gone.
It's gone. Window, yeah, absolutely.
So everyone's heard of Quitline. If they say they haven't, they're a dirty liar. So Quitline's a telephone-based support and counselling service. Counsellors, I hear, now receive training for LGBTQIA+ safe and affirmative practice. How did that come about?
Well, it came about that we needed to... I think it was part of the whole package. We needed to start having a conversation about smoking with queer community. And then we had to look at it and go, well, the research tells us that actually queer people who try to stop do succeed, but they don't use the services as much. So are we actually doing best practice on our Quitline? Are we actually making sure that we are culturally affirmative, inclusive? Yeah. Hey, let's not just know that we're all nice people and that some of our counsellors, you know, are members of the community. Let's actually kind of double check this. And we did. And we weren't doing too badly, but we thought we could improve. So we worked with Thorn Harbour Health and they gave us some extra training and we do core reflection and make sure that we're asking all the right questions, that we're being very supportive, which was happening anyway, but making sure that we were providing it in a way that was going to resonate with members of the community. And you know, only members of the community who use the service can tell us it's culturally safe.
Yeah.
But what, and we haven't looked at that yet, but what we are really loving.
I'll get back to you.
Like, I've got to leave. I've got to make a call.
I might apologize to that. We could do a little test. But what we're finding is people will call and we ask them the questions, and then about on the second or third call, they'll say, hey, you know, you asked if I was, you know, LGBTQIA+. Mm-hmm. Well, actually, I am. And I feel okay telling you about it now on the second or third call. Or people who've used the service before, now we ask, they go, oh, yeah, yeah, no, I've used the service before and I'm a repeat visitor, if you like. And, yeah, I am. So I think we've got it right.
Yeah. That's good.
We'll keep checking on it, and I'm sure Thorn Harbour Health will keep us on the straight and narrow there, pardon the expression. We'll see how we go with it.
Great.
So something that's fascinating to me, especially around education and some of the things that make members of our community feel safe or inclusive is getting like gender pronouns correct or just knowing the right terminology to use when you're not sure of someone's preferred gender. Has there been any research into the link between gender identification and smoking? And like, I just wonder about that because
it's a great question. So there's been a small study that I think I read a long time ago now about how trans masculine people smoked more.
Yes.
And there was some feedback from the qualitative research they'd done that it was part of affirming their gender because
a gender expression.
Yeah, right. So males smoke a lot more than females pretty much across the globe. There's only a couple of instances where women's smoking rates is higher than men's. So I think that there must be something in that. And certainly there's this one study that showed that trans masculine people smoked more. So probably about affirming that gender.
Fascinating. Wow. Thank you.
That's very interesting.
I think it's stuff we still need to look into.
Yeah. You
know, it's part of that huge collection of things we just don't yet know.
Mm. Going back to the Queer Film Festival, voting is open until the 2nd of February. It'll actually be the day after this episode airs. So you have a very short window of time to get online.
They're very short films. It only takes a few minutes to go and watch them. So, like I said, even if you don't care about smoking, go and support some young filmmakers.
Yeah. Some young queer filmmakers.
Yeah.
Hop online. Do you mind saying that address again? You did it so well.
quit.org.au/quitflicks. And the flicks is FLICKS.
Yes.
Love it.
Awesome.
Or just Google.
Yeah. Hop online. We'll put a link somewhere.
Yeah, that'd be
great. Yes, in our
Jump
group.
On it. Have a look. Vote for your favourite. Yeah, go and support them.
Love great.
Well, thank you so much for coming in
thank
today,
you so
Sarah.
Much.
Thank Love you. Chatting. I've loved it. And I'm so glad I've got another Quitline referral for Luke.
Thank you for going easy on me. I was sweating outside going, oh, my God.
No judgment zone.
No, it's a tough one. I've been the first ever cigarette I had, I stole off of my uncle because I wanted to be the sexy, mysterious lady from the And so I kept it in my bag for like 2.5 weeks because I was too nervous. I was just like, I don't know how to do this. And when I finally got up the courage to smoke it and pulled it out the bottom of my bag, it had snapped. And so I got like a glue stick and glued it back together.
That would've been good for you.
And then took it outside and smoked it with like a packet of matches in my grandma's backyard.
Very cool. That's really cool.
I got sick immediately.
I can't even smoke. Like the few times I've been out and people have offered me a cigarette, I'm like, I'm cool. I can do this. And like have a puff and just cough for like 15 minutes. So there's no hope for me. And that's good. I'm happy with that.
I think, you don't want to be the guy that takes up smoking in your late 20s.
God,
it
no.
just doesn't logistically.
No, I'm fine. I'm very fine
with
it.
Yeah. Totally throw my statistics out.
Yeah. There's plenty of us already, mate.
Oh, boy. Anyway, great. Thanks again.
Thank you, so Sarah. Much. That was lovely.
Really awesome. Enjoyed it.
Thank you to Charlie Baby for coming in tonight. Thank you to everyone that rocked up to recording.
Yeah. Especially Sarah White. She was lovely to speak to. Yeah. Very informative.
She was great. Loved to have
What a guest. I was so worried that was going to turn into some weird episode of Intervention.
We've gathered you here today because we care about you.
Because we're concerned.
Yeah.
Will you take up this help if it is offered to you? That's just great. But
Yeah, we hope you enjoyed our episode.
Yeah.
We have a little after show coming up as well.
That's it.
We're going to talk some potential futures for the LGBT community.
Some years and years.
Yeah, coming through. And if you haven't yet booked tickets to our Melbourne show, they're selling.
Tickets are selling fast.
The next week. We've got
a week.
We've got gags, goopery.
But also, if we don't make fun of us.
I'm gonna do a death drop.
Oh god!
The last time I was in a tent, 6 people died.
So don't miss that. See you next Friday.
You don't want to not get tickets to that.
Look
show.
Under your chair.
All right, we'll see you next week.
Bye.
Bye.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.